We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the matchup we all want to see, the greatest of all time, perhaps against the greatest of his generation. We're just licking our chops. We can't wait for Sunday to get here.
We're going
to
go Stacy Dales.
Brady goes under center, takes the snap, fakes to Fournette, throws left on the slant to the end zone, caught for the touchdown. Mike Evans.
We got to go beat a great football team, one we know pretty well. You know, Aaron's playing incredible, and we're going to have to play great to beat him.
Rodgers takes, fakes the handoff, looks to throw, lofts it down the middle. Lazard's got it, and he's gone. He is gone. Touchdown, the Packers with a dagger.
Hey, listen, this is Aaron Rodgers, maybe as good as he'll ever be. Boy, this would be the year to get to the Super Bowl and punch that ticket.
This is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Stacy Dales.
With Bernstein and Rahimi.
Let's talk some football and get some insight into a game. It's going to be pretty cold, might be a little snowy. It's going to look very NFC playoff-y. At Lambeau Field, Stacy Dales, who's on Twitter, at Stacy Dales, who covers the NFL for NFL Network, also works for Fox Sports as well, joins us on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue, Melrose Park, or at apnissan.com. Stacy, how are you?
Good morning, you guys. I'm awesome. I'm, as we speak, getting ready to head to Green Bay shortly for what, I mean, this is an epic game. I don't use the word epic often, but I'm going to call it epic.
It certainly seems that way. I always laugh and somewhat sympathize with the reporters who have to bring all the cold weather gear to the stadiums, especially in Green Bay. What do you have to pack? Hand warmers? How many jackets? What are you looking at to be able to stand outside, especially sometimes still in that kind of weather?
Oh, great question, Layla. You know it. By the way, when was the last time we saw each other? At the club at the Sox game? Was that where we bumped into each other?
Yeah, and I was afraid to say hi. I was like, I think that's Stacy Dales, but I'm probably wrong. And then I had to message you later.
Well, I just want to say I'm super pumped for you here in Chicago and what you're doing alongside Dan. And again, it's great to be with you guys. I live in the city. So, you know, always excited to see a fellow female rise to the top. So, and deservedly so. You know, what I take to Green Bay is layers upon layers upon layers. I've got heated gloves. I charge them the night before. I'm probably in four layers. It's a different kind of cold. You know, guys, we always want to talk about, well, how is it going to affect the players? I mean, Bruce Arians on a conference call with him yesterday, he was asked, are you more concerned about the cold or the wind? And for him, it's the wind. For the teams, it's the wind. And the wind chill is the most significant thing because, you know, the temperature might be 28, but it's going to feel like it's in the teens. I mean, you guys know that. It gets pretty cold in Chicago and Illinois, but Green Bay, Wisconsin is a different beast. It just is, and it wears on you. It's a bone-chilling cold, so it'll be fun to see. Now, I would say this. Tom Brady is so conditioned in the cold. He's seen a share of himself over 20 years of football playing in New England. And, of course, Rodgers wants it as cold as possible. So what I think is really cool, though, and I mentioned the word epic, these guys, can you believe it, have never played against each other in the playoffs? I mean, just four meetings, including this one, heading into Sunday. I am just fascinated by the matchup. Brady is, I think, 9-4 in conference championship games, while Rodgers is 1-3. And so you've got Brady with those all those Super Bowls, and Rodgers is trying to get back to his second Super Bowl 10 years later. It's just such a beautiful storyline. I asked Rodgers about it this week. And what I would tell you guys about Aaron this year, having covered him significantly, there is an absolute gratitude and appreciation for what they've accomplished and for what he's been afforded this year, and it's another opportunity. I've never seen him so gracious with the media, so humbled with the media, and just so in gratitude for every single moment he takes the field. His leadership, you guys, has been off the charts this year. He is conducting, you know, and delivering vocal soliloquies to his team at different moments. It could be daily, it could be on game day. I mean, he is standing up and completely taking ownership of this team. I never think Tom Brady's going to lose, but if there's a quarterback to beat him on Sunday, it'll be Aaron Rodgers.
I want the record to reflect here that we should never take – never. I never want to hear a Canadian talking about some issues with the cold in Green Bay because come on now. Come on now. I mean, my experience, granted, it's more in northern Ontario, but there are some people there who spend the entire winter trapping animals for sustenance in a shack, and they do just fine.
Dan, it's a point well taken. I still have frostbite. When you're growing up in Canada as a little kid, you get so conditioned and acclimated to being outside. My parents were like, get the hell out of the house. You guys got to go play somewhere. Where are you going to play? You're going to go outside. So we would spend hours upon hours, my brother and I, outside in the snow, and you just get used to it. What I would tell you is it shows up in later life. Not to declare my but it does, you guys. And so when you go to Green Bay, you are conditioned to it. I would say I'm a pro. I'm a pro's pro in the weather, Dan. I'm going to defend myself. But a lot of people aren't, and you just got to know what to bring.
When we look at Aaron Rodgers' success and how he and Matt LaFleur have figured each other out a little bit, I wonder what lessons there are to learn from some initial friction upon LaFleur taking the job about what he wants as opposed to what Aaron Rodgers wants. And a lot of us thought it was going to be really ugly and there was going to be some animosity, sort of what we're sort of hearing has gone on with Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. How did they avoid that? How did two really strong personalities who are just about the same age, they look at each other as peers more than anything else, how did they make this work, not just with X's and O's, but with their personalities?
Well, you raise a good point. I mean, they're not far apart in age, just a couple of years. And you have a future first ballot Hall of Famer and a young aspiring head coach now in his second year with the Packers. The guy has lost 6 regular season games total in Green Bay over 2 years. That is remarkable. What I would say, Dan, is, you know, we are so overcome in life, not just in sports. It could be any corporation. It could be media. It could be business. It could be politics, by ego. And when you have brilliant minds that come together, I don't want to say collide, but when they really truly marry, I think is a more positive word. And there's a collaborative effort in, hey, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. You are bound for really good results. And so this offseason, what Rodgers has continuously talked about, along with the offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, the head coach Matt LaFleur, and the whole bunch of them, is, what do you like? What do you not like? Oh, you don't like this? Okay, we're going to throw it in the trash can. Let's put it in the paper shredder, and let's go back to work. And so the Zoom calls, all the virtual learning was, I would say, invaluable for these guys. Because, you know, when you have a quarterback who's played 16 years in the NFL and is a first ballot, the reps maybe don't need those reps. Maybe the mental stuff is more important. So this has been a complete collaboration in every sense of the imagination. Rodgers' commitment to his body, going back to squatting in the weight room. So his balance, he talks about in the pocket, has been on point. When your balance is on point, as I've learned from quarterbacks, because I've never played the position, obviously, your timing is better. So you've got balance. You've got guys coming at you from every which direction. But you're getting the ball out on time. And now there's your symbiosis with your receivers and your offensive line. I mean, I describe watching the Packers offensively, Layla and Dan, as watching a symphony on grass this year, because when you've seen it without fans and you can hear everything, you can hear the cadence at Lambeau, you can, when they played the Bears in Chicago, you can hear the calls at the line. And you see the way Aaron uses his eyes to call plays. And he doesn't sometimes need to say anything to Devontae Adams. He uses eyes to create direction and route direction for his receivers. It's been an absolute brilliant symphony on on grass. And it's the best way I can explain it. And I just think, gosh, maybe losing in week six to the Bucks by 28 points was a really good thing. It exposed a lot. It got these guys back to being technicians. And I think there's a little bit of a revenge factor going into this game for them in the second match.
Well, Stacey, I also want to say thank you for your kind words, but here's a fun fact. I used to edit highlights of your Oklahoma teams when you were running game for Fox Sports Southwest when I was an entry-level employee there. So the respect has always been mutual. And congratulations for getting into the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, by the way. That is well-deserved.
Thank you so much. It's so funny. I guess, does it make us both a little, I'll say myself, I think I'm a little older than you. I guess it makes me a little bit old.
It makes us both old, but it's still cool. You know, it's funny.
I'm so honored by anything in life. If I pass a stranger on the street and they say hello to me, I was walking my dogs early this morning in this frigid temperatures we have in Chicago today, and a neighbor just walked out and said, hi. And I was just like, what? Because this pandemic has been so tough. But, hey, you have to celebrate every victory in life and every win in life. So I'm super pumped. But, I think, you know, one thing I will always say about the journey is, you know, every year it's been different. And I'm so proud of how we all, including you guys, us in the NFL, you know, every entity that has had to fight through this thing, all the medical people, I mean, you name it, that we've all kind of tried to get through this pandemic and kept our sanity. It's been a challenge.
I have to say, your highlight reel was a thing. I was watching that this morning. That there's a little 3-minute video that they put together for the Hall of Fame nomination or induction, and some of those passes are pretty awesome. And when they say that you modeled your game after Magic Johnson, some of the no looks in the break and some of the back cuts, I will say it looks like it probably took time for your teammates to get used to being seen that way that they hadn't been before.
Yeah, you know, my favorite part of sports is always the distribution. So it's the point guard, it's the quarterback, it's how the ball gets to places uniquely. Patrick Mahomes and his no look, you know, beauty out on the field. I did ding a few people off in the head, Dan, I'm not going to lie, but it was an enlightenment, I think, of, hey, if you get hit in the head, that means nobody else saw it too. So it means you're going to score easier. And so I believe, greatest facilitators are those that create easy opportunities for their teammates. And so that's what I always tried to do when I played.
Well, then watch Luka Doncic, man. If just night in and night out, seriously, every game that dude makes one of those passes where somebody's surprised to get the ball. It's like, is everybody seeing this? He's a thing.
Oh, he's unbelievable. I love that you mentioned him. There's so many greats. I mean, Steve Nash, I'm Canadian. Manu Ginobili is just, to me, just so underrated in what he was able to do with the ball. But he's a good one, Doncic, for sure.
You mentioned earlier, I hate to go back to the Packers after we have so much fun here in Chicago, but earlier.
Layla, do you guys hate the Packers?
I don't.
I don't
hate
the
Packers.
We carry the hate.
I respect them immensely. I really don't. I'm beyond that. They're too good. It's hating them is just sour and stupid at this point, because if you know, obviously you can want the Bears to beat them, but they're just too damn good.
I just feel like, as somebody who represents a portion, like, we listen to our listeners and we talk to people, so we have to at least acknowledge the hate and carry the hate and understand it. But I think they might have some reason for encouragement when you mention that Bucks game, because the Bucks run defense, I feel like, is just as good. And they did a number on Aaron Jones in that game.
Oh, my goodness, didn't they? I mean, Aaron Jones came away from that thing, to your point, with 15 rush yards. I mean, this is it. Aaron Jones is so underrated, not only for his speed and explosiveness, but he can power through front sevens. He had, and they had no answer. Actually, Matt LaFleur acknowledged, again, to your great point, Layla, that, you know, this Bucs defense in front seven, they're so fast. They have so much speed and power, and they come at you from so many different varied looks. I mean, Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, just does such a good job. Back in that week six game, they really rattled this offensive line. They got them out of rhythm. you know, and Devontae Adams was just coming back from injury, having missed a couple games. So it's remarkable what he's done, having missed a couple games in itself this year. But it's going to be different, though, I would say. I mean, we're talking, what, 3 months later? These are two starkly different football teams. You know, there's no David Bakhtiari, of course, for the Packers, but Billy Turner's been sensational, replacing him with the offensive line. And I just think that the Packers have really evolved with their run game. When you think about A.J. Dillon, who missed so much time with COVID and then injury early, the rookie at running back and the power that he brings, as we saw against Tennessee a couple weeks ago. And then you've got Jamal Williams, who's so serviceable. And then, of course, Aaron Jones, who always plays well in the playoffs. I think it's going to look totally different this time, but there's no question. I would tell you guys, in listening to the Packers all week, you know, just the way they've talked about just the nuances of this pass rush. It's not just that they have really talented players up front. When you think about, you know, Ndamukong Suh and Golston and really the linebackers, Devin White and Levante David, who might be the best tandem in football, Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, they're really technically sound and they execute. So this game really for the Packers will come down to, can they out-execute this defense? And offensively, which offense doesn't turn the ball over and which offense out-executes the other one? Turnovers will be incredibly important. Quarterback protection, incredibly important, and field position, incredibly important in this game.
I know it's kind of a facile narrative, and we do tend to get very quarterback-centric when we look at NFL games, maybe to a fault. But do you think that Brady at 43 and his sustained level, now that we've controlled the experiment a little bit and he has gotten away from Bill Belichick and continues to succeed, what do you think that means to a 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers as an example?
Wow, what a good question, Dan. My initial reaction is it means it can be done. Like, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be at Green Bay Packer next year. I mean, you know, he even called his own journey a beautiful mystery this week because of them bringing in Jordan Love, who to me is still in this league. You get to learn from Aaron Rodgers, but shoot, when you're a Green Bay Packer quarterback, you're still 2 to 3 years away. Aaron Rodgers could play to me for 5 more years. The way he's looked this year, the efficiency, I mean, he's almost shattered his own NFL record for a single season passer rating. I mean, throw to the NFL in touchdowns, passing touchdowns, 48 and building in the playoffs, of course, is remarkable. So I think it's just an example of, hey, if Tom can do it, I'm as good as Tom. I don't have all the Super Bowls because there's a lot that goes to that, but you know, shoot, imagine, and we go through all the hypotheticals. Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers in the AFC East all those years? I mean, this division is no joke. The NFC North is no joke. What I think is really impressive is that Tom has jumped over to the NFC, and Rodgers said this week, you guys, when he came to the NFC, I knew it would be a possibility we'd be in this moment in the NFC Championship. That's how good Tom Brady is. He has completely single-handedly reversed the fate of an entire franchise. The Bucs have been – I remember talking to a staff member of the Bucs back at the Combine this past year when we were still normal. And I said, well, you guys scored Tom Brady. And he's like, I know. I go, you're about to be great. And he goes, man, it's been a long time. I can't even remember the last time. And look at where they're at. He raises the bar of so many. So – the original answer, again, it can be done. Can Aaron Rodgers go somewhere else and make them great? Absolutely. Tom Brady did it, and I think they're in their own class together.
Stacey Dales, great stuff, and congratulations again on your pending induction to the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame. This was fun. We'll do it again sometime soon.
You guys are awesome. I always appreciate joining you. Thanks for having me on.
That's Stacey Dales of NFL Network and Fox Sports. I want to talk a little bit more baseball when we come back. I know we diverged to talk about Hank Aaron and his passing at the age of 86, but there was something that was going on yesterday that I thought was a little gross involving a really significant Chicago baseball player. And I just think we got to stop doing some of the things that we do as sports fans, and we'll talk about that next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, Chris, I don't know. I think you said a year or two ago that you shut off your Twitter, and so I don't know what you're paying attention to these days in any form of media, but there has been a lot of criticism out there, whether it be your performance or even some of the injuries that have kept you off the field. Did you feel like this in any way was kind of a nice response to any of that on your part? Or just, and what's been your reaction to some of that, if you knew about any of it?
I don't give a shit. I really don't. That's a good answer. Kind of over it. I feel like, you know, sometimes I go out there and I could go 4 for 4 and it's not good enough for some people. So I don't give a shit. How about that?
That was Chris Bryant. And I believe that was during which iteration of spring training or whatever it was, but that was
summer camp,
whatever. But Chris Bryant gave an interview yesterday in which he very openly admitted to sometimes when baseball isn't all that much fun for him. And I get it. I totally understand it. It's your job. And some days your job isn't fun anymore. And this game that's supposed to be free and easy can be really hard on some guys. And I thought the reaction yesterday was kind of nasty. And some of it was the way it was contextualized and some maybe ill thought out headlines. But some of the backlash, some of the response of like calling him a crybaby, saying how dare he makes all this money. If you've listened to this show too, when we talked to him last, you know, he also spoke with the afternoon show and he talked about his son and how he would probably steer him away from baseball and might want her to play golf instead. And he's been really open and really honest about how difficult it is and how he told us one time he was going through a slump and Tommy La Stella said something to him like, "Hey, you know, you're a really good baseball player." And he said, "Thanks. That really means a lot to me, and I need to hear that." He's been really open and really human, and you got to really try hard to be that guy in a situation like this, to be so willfully, purposefully ignorant as to pretend that mental health or happiness has anything to do with what his contract is or how many awards he's won. It's just the active, aggressive lack of empathy showed yesterday. I thought it was kind of nasty.
Oh yeah, it was the bad side of Meatball for sure. Like the fun side of Meatball is when you just yell about sports, and I do it all the time. But like that, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me because the assumptions and the concern about Chris Bryant has gone back so far. And that was one of the most honest times I've ever heard him when he was asked if he's still having fun. Simple question. And he said at times, no, it really got to me sometimes the stuff I was hearing. And you don't know what makes a person tick. You don't know how they grew up. You don't know what's going on with them. So we're all projecting in a way when people are like, oh, you're an athlete, you have millions of reasons to live, you know, that terrible Terrell Owens quote that happened years ago, the idea that like you shouldn't feel a certain way. This many Sox fans' reactions to Michael Kopech, like, get it together, people. We're past this. And how many times have we heard baseball coaches, managers, luminaries say it's a child's game, you have to play fun like a child, it's a game of failure. Have that joy, have that attitude about it. And then you see the weight that people are carrying sometimes, and you're like, no, he's ruining the team. Like, what? Come on.
Well, that's the other aspect to it, too, is like what it does to the team. They know that human beings are human beings, that every workplace has its own kind of different dynamics. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy listening to Ian Happ's podcast, is when they get into some of that human stuff. You know, like when Kyle Schwarber was talking to Ian Happ about how difficult it is with he and his wife now trying to figure out where to live and when to move and all these things that we don't think about that is a real part of your life. And these, and regardless of what you do for a living and how much money you make, I just, I, like you say, Layla, I thought we were past that. I thought that we had a level of understanding that everybody's going through something. And whether you make $18 million a year or $18,000 a year, your brain chemistry doesn't know that. Your serotonin levels don't care about that. They really don't. They don't care how much money you make, and they don't care if you made an all-star team last year or not. And they're not just pictures on a baseball card. So it just bugged me for him to be vulnerable and to be honest about that. He should be rewarded for that. He should be applauded for that. And instead, you have all these idiots, you know, clapping back for no reason just because it makes them feel good.
Yeah, I don't get it. And here's the other thing. I'm already seeing people try to compare Kopech to Brand. That's not similar either. Just understand that the mental aspect of this game and being professional athletes is pretty significant. So when people open up about the mental aspects of this game and their own personal issues, it's not for you to pile on. It's because they're trying to explain to you why something's happened. We heard Doug Glanville at the beginning of this week tell us about how, well, if I'm 0 for 21 this week and I'm a bit rattled because I got pulled over for no reason, at least you guys will know why. Consider these things.
There's a great part of the interview that Hap does with Schwarber where they both agree that they hate live BP during spring training. They hate it. And he said, yeah, they bring the turtle out there. When they say the turtle, they mean the cage, the big turtle shell shaped cage. And he said, live BP sucks. And they tell us that it doesn't matter. Yet they're all taking notes and the general manager's there and the president's there and all the scouts are there and they're taking notes and it's all in my head. And it's like, and then I'll have a bunch of terrible swings. And then I walk out of there and I think I suck. And Schwarber's like, yeah, I know the feeling. Or sometimes you're dialed up in the machine, and then you go out for live BP, and it's all different. And you finish, and you spend the whole day thinking you're bad. And it's like, what do you mean think you're bad? You're Kyle Schwarber, you're Ian Happ, and you remember both those guys got sent down to the minors after coming up to the majors. You know, and Chris Bryant has those feelings too, and he says he's got to look up his career OPS to remind himself sometimes of the back of the baseball card, to remind himself that he's good. That's how they think. That's how they think.
And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
It's just real. It's just the level. I don't think people understand the level of insecurity that can be there, even for an established baseball player who does make a lot of money, who does have a contract, who could see himself on billboards when he's driving out to O'Hare, that they can have one bad batting practice and have a total crisis of confidence. That's absolutely real. And then for somebody to say about it, like, and not to mention in the aspect of you always kill the thing you love, when your game, this child's game, actually becomes your job, and a really hard job with a ton of pressure and all the public trolls and everything out there, when what you love becomes your job, there is a loss of the romanticism a little bit that goes along with it. And guys have to work through that and sometimes find a different kind of joy in what they do. That's real, and that's okay. You don't have to crap on them for it.
And here's the other thing. If you think that none of this matters, there's a reason that teams spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on sports psychologists every year. Professional golfers keep them on retainer. Because get your head right. And you personally, get your head right. Especially this year. This year sucks. Just saying.
Yeah, everybody's miserable this year, right? I mean, let alone being forced back to go there amid a pandemic to do your very, very difficult job. It's all kind of crazy. Speaking of which, I heard a little bit of this here and there, and I saw a little bit of it on Twitter. But we have to get to the bottom of Shane Reardon and the case of the two-day chicken sandwich and the backlash to the backlash in a never-ending cycle of insanity and stupidity. We'll try to figure this all out next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Well, I'm here in the freezing cold getting free chicken sandwiches because the food tastes great. I mean, It's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
To make sure you tell my man Shane Rodeard and I said, what's up?
I love that piece of sound. I love that kid. I don't know how long ago it was, but that kid's probably calling WIP now, screaming about Carson Wentz. But
I like fried chicken.
Who doesn't?
Well, actually, kid.
I've been hearing this in bits and pieces about what's going on with the story of Shane Reardon and his precious two-day chicken sandwich project. And I guess the part that I heard was late in the day a couple days ago when Danny Parkins was asking about buttermilk. And he was like, it's buttermilk, so it's what? It's just butter and milk, right? And I'm like, no. No, it's very it's very much just not that. But Shane Reardon is joining us to explain just what the hell is going on. What did you start? What did you cause? And what is this?
I told Danny and Spiegs the other day that it's easier and more rewarding and more cost efficient to make your own fried chicken sandwich at home as opposed to drive into a chain in the drive-thru in a pandemic. And Danny took much exception to that because he couldn't cook a bowl of cereal. And apparently their problem is that, no, it's not easier. It might be cheaper. It might be more efficient, but it isn't easier. I argue that it's easier. I don't know.
It is not easier.
It is easier, but Layla.
See, that's where you take it too far. It's definitely not easier.
It is easier. It's easier to put some chicken in buttermilk. And then in a cornstarch or potato starch dredge and into hot oil. That's easier than going to a drive-thru. I don't know why this stupid station has made such a big deal about a fried chicken sandwich for the last 3 days.
Who doesn't love fried chicken sandwiches? That's why we're here for this.
I get it, Layla, but like, how is it not clear to you people here that it's easier to stay in your home, not leave it, and make your own food?
It might be simpler because you're minimizing locations, but it is not easier via process and activity.
Sure.
And ingredient.
There are far less steps. The danger that you encounter walking out your front door nowadays in 2021, it's easier on my mind, easier on my soul, easier on my wallet.
How many ingredients are in your chicken sandwich?
I mean, just a standard dredge. So you got like 5-6 spices in the potato or cornstarch. You've got buttermilk, hot sauce, and pickle juice in the brine, and then your bun, and then whatever toppings you want to put on. They made a big deal about, they're calling it like a 3-month chicken sandwich because I use my own pickles, and those can last for 3 months. But like, Danny just makes a big deal out of like the process of, oh, God, it's so difficult to know that I'm going to want a fried chicken sandwich tomorrow to then put some chicken thighs in a buttermilk brine the day before. Like, why is that hard? Why is that difficult?
Your chicken requires planning?
If you want
to... pickles made in advance.
Oh, my God. It doesn't require pickles made in advance. It's made better by pickles made in advance. But it doesn't require you to make your own pickles, whether they be red onions or cucumbers. It tastes better that way. It tastes better if you let your chicken brine in buttermilk for 24 hours, but it can be done for a half hour. Fine.
Right, let me just, if I were your attorney, and I'm not an attorney.
Thank
but
God.
If I were representing you in making this case, I would do it was always said about Abraham Lincoln when he was a lawyer, is his great strength was understanding what to give up so he could get what he wanted.
Should have given up his theater tickets.
I think in this case, give up easier. I would relent because I think your best argument, and I think using the pandemic is a little bit cynical. I think the argument for yours is satisfaction. It's quality and satisfaction. I think there is no question that your chicken sandwich, you can argue, is better. You may be able to argue per the expense of each ingredient that it's less expensive.
Much less expensive.
You're not paying the markup. I think your best arguments are better quality, less expensive, and more satisfying because you're doing it yourself. And if there is immeasurable inherent pleasure in cooking it, but I would definitely give up easier.
95% of these things are in your home. You don't have to leave your home for anything. You might have to get chicken. That's $2 a pound for chicken thighs. You might have to get buns. That's $3 for six of them at Mariano's, six brioche buns or potato buns, whatever you want. So we're at $5 right now to likely make six fried chicken sandwiches. But Danny Parkins, Mr. Lincoln Park, Mr. North Suburb Home Danny Parkins, wants to pay $7 to get in his Honda CRV and drive to the takeout place and spend his money on chicken sandwiches instead of doing it on your own when it's easier to do that.
First of all, buttermilk goes bad in like 24 hours.
No, it doesn't. Buttermilk lasts like 3 months.
It almost never goes bad. It's fermented.
No.
Yes.
No,
yeah, no, buttermilk. No, buttermilk.
Like a,
Layla, you're thinking of exposed
buttermilk.
Meat. No. Buttermilk's already turned. Buttermilk's fermented.
Yeah, the buttermilk I used for the chicken sandwiches the other night has been in my fridge since like Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm not eating that buttermilk-involved anything at your house, that's for sure.
Fine.
Buttermilk's really good for you.
I was going to buy a sandwich from you over the weekend.
No, buttermilk is inaptly named, but it's really good for you.
What is it? It's just butter and milk, right?
Idiot. I thought he was doing a bit,
no.
But he actually thought that.
He texted us later, and he's like, I was talking to Steph, and I told her, I asked on the show today, what's buttermilk? Just like butter and milk? And Steph said, why would you think that's a smart thing to say? Why would you ever think that?
You know why you think it's easier, Shane?
Why?
Control.
Maybe.
You need to be involved in the process.
That might be it. Also, it's
and
just
all
easier.
You Twitch jerks right now. I cook. I have an Instagram.
Yes.
Get over yourselves. But I do throw out buttermilk relatively quickly. I only need it for like a couple things ever. So I buy like the tiniest pint and then throw it out.
See, if I have it in the house,
more and more pungent after a few days.
See, if I buy enough, if I'm cooking with it, I'll drink the rest.
That's serial killer behavior.
Oh, I
don't
love
drink buttermilk.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, it's so good.
You're a weirdo.
When I buy Claussen pickles and I'm done with the pickles, I will save the jar that's it's still got a third of pickle juice and I drink that.
That's fine.
Well, what's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference between pickle juice and buttermilk?
Yeah, it's just lactic acid. I mean,
Jesus Christ. One of them's thick like...
No, it's just lactic acid.
Yeah.
No, there's no difference. One's
My
just
God.
White and
no,
one's just green.
It tastes so good, though.
Yeah, buttermilk doesn't... You know what? Here's what I'll tell you. I don't eat cereal very often. I don't drink dairy very often. But when I do, I love using half and half in my cereal. I'll tell you that.
Whoa,
but
what?
That is the maximum thickness.
Yeah.
Buttermilk
that's
is
living.
Like the consistency
yep.
of paint.
No, but I wouldn't put buttermilk in my cereal just because it's sour. But look, like what's the name of the Indian drink? Other cultures, they drink buttermilk all the time.
Lassa.
Is it? Yeah, right? Isn't that it? There's raita, there's lassa, but that's there. Whatever the one that
Lassi.
I get at Lassi. Yeah,
there's a Persian one that's doog, but yeah, I always forget.
Right. So if that's
you guys
okay,
are crazy. And Shane, you're almost bordering on food blogger who like has the 2,500 posts and the story leading up to the idea behind this basic recipe. And then they're like, the prep time's only 20 minutes. And then like 4 hours later, you're still trying to do the prep because it takes that long.
Hey guys, welcome to my channel. Yeah, it's you guys are idiots. So do it the right way. Don't come at me anymore.
Thanks, Shane.
The right way is not the simpler
Enough,
way.
Layla. You're new here.
Stop trying to control everything.
Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
There's only one Shane.
He left
Reardon
his mic cover.
Yeah, thankfully for that. We will do transition with Zach Zaidman, who's in for Lawrence Holmes today, next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.